Probably every Alaskan is familiar with the story about cutting the state in half and thereby making Texas the third largest state in the Union. Well, it's true, and probably no one is more familiar than University of Alaska wildlife students with the 586,400 square miles of Alaska. And that's our story today, The Wildlife Student, on This Is Your University. Wildlife students at the University of Alaska don't make a habit of telling this story to Texans, but in their quiet day-to-day routine of classroom lectures and research, they've probably become as well informed about Alaska's size and resource potential as anyone in the great land. The university's wildlife program, which offers such a vast backyard workshop of virgin land, has attracted students from as far away as Florida in the United States and from Formosa. In the past 4 years, university wildlife students have explored hundreds of miles of the Tanana and Yukon rivers and their tributaries, plus other interior Alaska streams. Graduate students studying biology, classifications, reproduction, and survival of fish throughout interior Alaska provide excellent testimony of the contribution to the state's welfare. The department, while continually training, is making future wildlife professionals. Traps, gill nets, and trammel nets have been placed at various points in the rivers from Fairbanks to Tetlin in the Tanana Basin and from Circle City to Eagle along the Yukon. Using these standard sampling spots to analyze the water, take temperatures, note the weather, and survey the surrounding terrain and foliage, a determination of the types of fish in interior Alaska and where they are may be ascertained. In yet another project, one student studied the relation of water temperatures to the propagation and survival of fish in the Chena River, while another student researched the effect a power dam on the Chattanooga River had on the biology of fish. In answer to a growing state need for people who understand the biology of fish with the goal of utilizing the fish resources of the state to its best possible advantage, the wildlife people are attempting to train fishery biologists as well. Practical application can be seen in studies such as the power dam's effect on fish, and particularly salmon, and the Fish and Wildlife Department feels it may contribute knowledge to construction of flood control dams on the Chena River. Since it first opened in 1951, the Department of Wildlife Management has shown a rapid growth, primarily in the past decade, under the direction of Dr. Frederick Dean. Dean is an award-winning conservationist in his own right, and is firm in his conviction that Alaska's unspoiled beauty should not be permitted to go the way of so many other states. Another practical aspect of the wildlife program is a commercial fisheries course started in southeastern Alaska in 1961. Although based in Juneau, Professor Jack Doyle, a University of Washington graduate and commercial fisherman himself, roams southeastern and westward towns from Ketchikan to Kodiak, showing and teaching commercial fishermen the latest methods of his trade. This program is administered through the Division of Statewide Services and provides a very real and valuable service to the hundreds of Alaskans who derive their livelihood from the salmon industry. A few years ago, many Alaskans feared that the industry was indeed on its last legs. But thanks to programs such as this and valuable research, which has many times led to important fishery conservation legislation, the salmon is bouncing back to make a meaningful contribution to the state's economy. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Alaska's king crab industry is the fastest growing segment of the United States fishing industry. This opinion has been set forth in a recently released in-depth study on Alaska's king crab production, which was prepared by the University of Alaska's Institute of Social, Economic, and Government Research. And that's our story today, the king crab industry in Alaska, on This Is Your University. Leo Lowell is an associate professor of business administration at the University of Alaska and editor of the publication that carries the king crab study. Lowell does not foresee, at least in the immediate future, any depletion of the king crab harvest similar to that suffered by Alaska's salmon industry a few years back. Overall growth of the king crab industry's harvest in Alaska during the past 7 years has been 674%, with annual catch increases ranging from a low of 10 to a high of 68%. During the six-year period from 1959 to 1964, the wholesale value of the state's king crab production has more than quadrupled, increasing from $3,850,000 to nearly $21.5 million. King crabs generally live to be about 15 years old. Consequently, when fishermen begin to harvest a virgin crab fishing area, they are drawing from about 9 different age groups, ranging from 7 or 8 years to 15. During this period also, a wide range of crab sizes are taken, and as fishing pressure in the good areas increases, a point is eventually reached where the older male crabs have all been harvested, and fishermen catch and retain only those crabs of legal size. Consequently, when the older crabs have all been caught, the average weight of the crab being harvested declines. Total production falls and fluctuates at levels dictated by the number of new crabs reaching harvestable age. According to the review, king crab sales have been concentrated mostly in the eastern U.S. Approximately 50% of the sales in recent years has been along the Atlantic coast from Boston to New York. In fact, the publication points out that it is very likely that tens of millions of Americans who could well afford king crab and would undoubtedly enjoy it have never even had the opportunity to taste it. King crab is not an inexpensive product, but it is a high-quality product and can easily command premium prices on unsaturated markets. When crab is canned or processed otherwise, 80% of the shellfish becomes waste. An estimated 40,000 tons of king crab shells and gurry will be dumped into Alaska streams by processors during this season. Obviously, the development of some profitable method of converting this waste into saleable products could and would substantially improve the economic well-being of the industry, as well as providing more jobs for more Alaskans. New developments indicate that a solution to the crab waste problem may be at hand. Tests show that crab shells may be substituted for walnut shells used by oil companies to conserve drilling mud when crevices and caverns are encountered. Other uses being explored by scientists at present include use by the rubber industry in making winter tires and possible use as a surface for wood paneling. The growing king crab industry, 1,200 American fishermen were employed harvesting Alaska king crab during 1964, an $8 million plus year, is contributing increasingly to private employment, personal income, and public revenue for the state. Its growth has generated the need for construction and staffing of many additional processing facilities. And most important, employment in the industry is year-round, helping to counteract drastic seasonal fluctuation experienced by many other industries in the state. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC by the University Relations Office. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. With the responsibilities and pressures of university life often come the discouragements and frustrations to even the best of students. The fact that more and more colleges and universities have established counseling and testing and guidance offices acknowledges that educators are aware of the problem and are working to solve it. Here to tell us about the University of Alaska's counseling and testing program today is Dr. Kenneth K. Martin, head of the department, on This Is Your University. Dr. Martin, I want to welcome you to This Is Your University, and wonder if you might tell us exactly what your job entails as head of the counseling and testing program here at the university.
Well, primarily, the job entails organizing the orientation programs, testing programs here at the university, and then working with individual students and small groups of students.
I see.
On their difficulties, problems that they have, or that they encounter here at the university.
Uh-huh. Would you say that this area is expanding, Dr. Martin?
Well, it's expanding, but it's expanding by demand rather than by
choice, or
by choice. Yeah, because more and more of the students are utilizing the service. Mm-hmm. We have added another counselor this year. Next year, we hope to be able to add an additional counselor.
Mm-hmm.
The pressures upon the counseling office, our schedules are increasing every day, and we just need additional personnel.
Uh-huh. Is it possible, or would it be possible, to pinpoint any single area of difficulty or problem that any single majority of students would seem to have in common?
Well, it's difficult to identify just one
mm-hmm.
area. There are several major areas
mm-hmm.
that almost all students encounter. The freshman students, for instance, many of them up here for the are away from home for the first time, and they
find
are out from under the pressures of their parents or mm-hmm. some other individual. Their teachers in the high schools have pressured them to keep them to keep their studies up, to keep their work up from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get here, this is missing. So they have to find a way to study, a need for study, and they have to find this within themselves. So we help them with their study problems. And
it's quite a change from high school for most. This is probably true at any university or college, the problems encountered by the freshmen.
Right.
Quite a transition.
And then also another area would be the fact that many of them encounter, as they encounter these responsibilities, they begin to feel somewhat anxious, somewhat nervous about
uh-huh.
their own capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And this puts them into what we might term an anxiety state, in which they become somewhat depressed
mm-hmm.
and somewhat
tense.
Well, not tense, but somewhat critical of themselves.
Mm, I see. Well, Dr. Martin, we've just skimmed over the surface here. I want to thank you for being with us today. We are running out of time, and we'll have to close. You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Kenneth Martin today, head of the Counseling and Testing Program at the University of Alaska, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station, KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. The 13-3 intercollegiate win-loss record, racked up by the University of Alaska's varsity basketball squad, has set a new record for the Nanooks. Under the coaching of Fred Kroll, the Polar Bears this year went on to place among the top 10 small college and university ball clubs. One senior letterman placed among the top 5 scorers for small colleges and universities. For Fred Kroll and his Nanooks, this year was indeed the season to be happy. And that's our story today on This Is Your University. John Springer is the senior letterman who scored an average of 20 points per game and pulled an average of 21 rebounds back from the boards in each contest this year. This placed Springer in the top 5 scoring bracket for small colleges and universities throughout the entire United States. "I'm very pleased with the season," Coach Kroll said, and he certainly has reason to be. Only 3 games of 16 played against colleges in Alaska, Canada, and the lower 48, only 3 were lost. This is the best win-loss record the Nanooks have ever had since organized basketball began on the university campus. One of the youngest coaches the university varsity has ever had, Kroll's ability to handle a ball club can't be underestimated because of his 23 years. Kroll asserts authority with his players, and he receives respect in turn. Next year, the Nanooks face the best slate of opponents ever. But, though losing only 2 lettermen, Springer and Dennis Spurl, Kroll pointed out that next year's ball club and what they do depend on many things. Among them is what new talent comes to the university, how many undergraduate ball players return next fall, how Coach Kroll's recruiting drive in the lower 48 goes, and what the opposition plans to field during the 1966-67 season. At least 3 of these areas are unpredictables, and the Bears will just have to wait and see what next year brings. Arch-rival Alaska Methodist University in Anchorage will meet the Nanooks 4 times, twice on the Patty Building Court, the Nanooks' home territory, and twice in Anchorage, the opening and the closing games of the season, December 2nd and 3rd, and February 24th and 25th of 67. Other opponents scheduled include Linfield College for December 9th and 10th, Cascade College January 5th, 6th, and 7th, Central Washington State February 10th and 11th, and St. Martin's College, February 17th and 18th. Away games besides AMU at Anchorage include Portland State at Portland, Oregon, January 31st and February 1st, and St. Martin's at Olympia, Washington, February 3rd and 4th. Also under consideration but still billed as tentative is a December match at college with Eastern Washington State. Again, all home games for 1966-67 will be played in the Patty Gymnasium on the campus. "I'm real proud of those boys," said Kroll of the varsity squad. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. This academic year at the University of Alaska has been a busy one, and we who have worked to bring this program to you each week have noticed the bustle of activity, perhaps more than most, on the university campus. It's been a year of new discoveries and projects from the university's research institutes and laboratories, of increasing student enrollment and planning for an expanding campus, of development, progress, and much hard work. This is the academic year in review on This Is Your University. Throughout this academic year, we've discussed wide and varied topics, many of importance only to Alaska and Alaskans, and a few important to us as citizens on a national level. Some of our programs have initiated action, such as our feature on the University Archives. Upon hearing this program, one resident of Manly Hot Springs, Alaska, promptly wrapped and mailed a large manila envelope stuffed full of papers he felt the university should have. Included among them were letters written by Judge Wickersham and considered invaluable to Alaska's history and heritage. In another feature, we discuss the university's growing wildlife management department and what type of student is attracted to this field. The university is constantly working to provide Alaska with the men and women it needs to develop its resources, build its economy, and its future. Students in the wildlife management department are aiming at careers in forestry, fisheries, and other related areas vital to Alaska's growth. We've also discussed the Alaska of the future, mostly in terms of education and educational needs. All statistics show that Alaska, as in the other states, may expect only an upward trend in school enrollments from kindergarten on up to the university level. Alaska has already been listed as one of America's 10 fastest growing states, and with this rapid growth will come, and is coming now, added pressures and responsibilities to provide Alaska's citizens of tomorrow with the finest of educational opportunity. To this end, the University of Alaska, which is expecting an enrollment of 8,000 full-time students by 1980, is striving constantly. In another but related area, we've examined the state's growing community college program. Under the Alaska Constitution, the University of Alaska is responsible for all public higher education throughout the state, and thus is responsible in turn for the community college program. This program has, in effect, placed 6 University of Alaska campuses throughout the state. It provides a means for students to continue their education while staying at home and to do so economically. It does not decrease the enrollment at the main campus. Rather, if anything, it increases it. For, by providing convenient and inexpensive education for a student during his first 2 years, he may well save enough to attend his last 2 on the main campus. And in the end, an education has been provided for a student who may very well otherwise have been denied this opportunity. We've also examined the university's summer session program and correspondence study, through which many smaller village and bush residents are provided a chance to learn when the teacher is given an opportunity to go to them. Student government this year has been concerned with an effort to reorganize, to operate with a broader appeal to a wider range of the general student body. And under a program called COPAN, the abbreviation for College Orientation Program for Alaska Native Students, Alaska Natives are helped to more easily absorb the university atmosphere. With an enrollment of over 1,500, the campus alone is usually 15 to 16 times the size of many of these students' hometowns. It has been an active year and a busy one, and as this program brings our series to an end for another school year, we want to thank George Katzenberger, our engineer, without whose expert assistance this program would not have been possible, the many radio stations throughout the state who have aired our program, and a special, special thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning us in each week. This Is Your University has been a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It has been produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton.